Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
I feel like the Brady Bunch with this screen.
It's weird.
Yeah, if I had ever given in to Matt and we were doing YouTube video stuff, it would definitely be Brady Bunching right now, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So I think we've got such a special guest that's coming on. I think that what we should do is each one do a mini introduction. So Matt, how would you describe this man that we're going to be talking to today?
This is my boy.
That kind of gives it away.
Yeah. Well, this is my son. Honestly, he's my pride and joy.
There we go. And Brittany doesn't listen to the show all the time, so that's okay. His
Brittany
sister
knows
won't
she's
get
my
hurt.
Pride and joy too.
Okay, pride and joy. When you got two prides and joys, that's not bad.
I do. But I am so blessed.
Here's a little unique take, right? Because is he your pride and joy too, Brianna?
Yeah, I'd say so. I would say that I brag as if I'm also somehow
I think
a parent.
More than me. I think even more than
constantly.
Me.
Constantly. Kyle, when you gave me that, or Matt gave me the picture of you, so I would pray for you every day. She made me give it to her.
I did.
I know.
She did.
I know.
I did because I didn't get one. That's the reason why.
That's Matt, not Kyle. But I'll tell you, I would describe this young man as Caballo Blanco. Because we would go on a trail run and he would pull up to the trailhead in his white Mustang and then he would fly like the wind and then kind of catch his breath and walk a little bit and then fly like the wind and jump over things. And now he's in such a good shape, he doesn't have to catch his wind anymore. He is truly Caballo Blanco.
That's funny.
Kyle Hall.
Hello, hello.
We should all sing the Navy hymn right now.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle, where are you tuning in from here?
I am in Guam currently. Not too much details I can give because I'm not really allowed to tell when we're leaving or what's going on. But currently, we are in Guam for over 50 days.
And can you confirm that you're in the military?
I am in the military. I'm in the Navy.
Okay, very good. Which is always what you thought you would do with your life and how you would end up in Guam. Wasn't that your life plan?
Yeah, no, not at all. Short story. I feel like I've done everything under the sun trying to figure out, at least what for a career wise, what I'm supposed to do. And I ended up joining the Navy a couple of years ago. And I definitely think this is where God has me and where he wants me to be. He's doing a lot in my heart and put me in very uncomfortable situations to be a light for him.
Right on.
I agree.
And do you have your drum set with you?
I do not.
You don't? It is amazing that God would give such gifting and such anointing. Arguably the finest drummer that Foothills Christian Church
have
experienced.
With?
Well, yeah, nobody in this room.
I guess I'll let that go.
So that's just set aside for a time, but not probably forever.
Yeah, it's not set aside forever.
Yeah, I know. That would be a loss. That would be a loss. Well, you know what, Kyle? And everybody else can jump in. I'm not going to run this because this is a group of people that love you. And so I think, you know what I'll do? I'll just be smart. I'm just going to turn it over to your surrogate mother, Brianna.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
She can start asking some questions here.
That's right. So funny. I really, in thinking about like people on the podcast and thinking about the name of the podcast being Sent 315 and what it means, you know, being ready to give an account for the hope, immediately I was thinking, I think that we should have a conversation with Kyle because I feel like we've had a lot of conversations over the past couple months about you, first off, deep diving just into the word. And, you know, you didn't become a Christian like in the Navy. You've been a Christian for a while. But and if you don't want me to share, you'll just have to be like, edit this out. But you were telling me a while ago that you feel like these last couple of years has been like an actual real deep dive into like the Bible and the Word of God, which is so funny because you're also stripped away from like your family, you know, like you're not home, you're not able to go to church every Sunday, you have to watch like tomorrow a church service that the day before, and there's not like fellowshipping with like your brothers and sisters. But you were saying that this is like the most in your life that you've ever felt like you've been really intentional about your walk with God.
And Kyle, can I ask why that's true? What made that different? Why is this the season of your life that you're serious?
I think growing up just in church and at Foothills and being involved in the worship team and just different aspects of serving and I think being away from all of that has forced me to, I only have me and God in the Bible right now, and I don't have anybody to lean on. I don't have like people like Shane, where I kind of, I think I've, in the past I've like looked up to them and like looked for, I'm trying to think of the word, like
validation
from them. Yeah. Okay. And I don't really have that. It's just my validation from the Lord and from what I'm getting out of the Bible. And so it's really, when I hit my low spots or feel really lonely, it's really just driving me to press into studying the Word. And I think the difference now is that I'm not just like looking at the Bible as like reference scriptures and stuff like that. I'm really wanting to understand, well, what is the theology behind it? What is like understanding like that the culture and the way that a lot of this biblical poetry and biblical narrative is written back in the day has a message behind it. When you understand that more, you can get more out of what you're reading. And now I'm like diving a little more into the New Testament and understanding like, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are different accounts of who Jesus was, what he taught. And like even Luke is very interesting and just like understanding how that sets up into Acts and how the church was built. And then all of these letters that were being addressed for all these issues that we have as Christians in the church. And it's just a different way of looking and studying the Bible instead of like just going off of references that I've just grown up with or my Sunday theology. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, you're learning history. Like you're learning the history of Christianity, which like, I feel like it's interesting because for me also in like the last couple, like maybe like three or four years, I've also felt that way. And I've just been hit with like a revelation of like, it's actual real history. Like it's real Christian history.
Yeah.
And doing that also deepens your faith. And it also helps you to be able to give the account. Because I do think that there is something powerful about being like, okay, you know, I wasn't a Christian and then God met me and he transformed me and I became a Christian and I was like met with that power and I saw it. But there's also something, and I feel like in today's society, which you've experienced a lot where you're at with the people around you, where people also, I do think, like want to have a very like logical and intellectual conversation about religion, you know?
And you can.
Like, yeah, and you can. And I think that they do, it is like transformative by the power of our testimony, but like the questions of like, well, you know, I don't believe that the Bible is real. And because of what you're doing, you can come back and say like, no, let me like show you how it is real. It's like an actual historical document. Or people that are like, I don't believe that, like, here's all the contradictions and that's why I have a hard time when a pastor talks about this. And what you're doing, you can come back and be like, well, I've actually taken time to study what you're talking about. And let me show you like why this isn't necessarily true. And so I think that that's also really awesome to do that too.
Yeah, the Bible stands up to our intellectual scrutiny way beyond that.
Yeah.
You know something too, Kyle, I was thinking about, I've taught pretty much a breakout at every Future Quest maybe, and spoken to a lot of Christian kids. And you come from a Christian heritage that is deep, right? I mean, we've interviewed your grandfather on this show. I mean, there's been more Halls interviewed on Sin 315 than there have been Millers, that's for sure. And really for good reason, not just because you're related. But would you say that there's some element of that, like I've told the kids at Future Quest and when I'm teaching at the church, God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. It's only, you're his. So how did that work for you, where you came from this spiritual Christian heritage? Do you think maybe you took some of it for granted, or you knew how to talk the talk even when you hadn't taken that deep dive? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that for a long time, I've put an expectation on myself to, I have some big calling that I just don't know yet, or I haven't, you know, God hasn't shown me what that is. I'm supposed to walk in the path maybe of my grandpa and do Christian television in Italy, or I think there's just this big extravagant thing. And I think I've started to realize that God is God and he does have a purpose for me. And it may not be some crazy extravagant thing, but I know right now what I have to do is, like we were saying, understand the Bible and theology and have a way to give an account for the things that I encounter. Like when I'm on the ship, I have had run into, you know, Mormons and to people that are homosexual, people that are atheist, other Christians that have completely different views. And I think that's what's really driven me into, well, what is Calvinism? What is Arminianism? What is just having these different views? Why do I believe that there is a God? Well, and relative morality and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And just starting to learn and really dive and understand these different things. That's what I'm called to right now. And in that, I'm getting to understand the character of God more. And the more that I understand the character of God, I can stand on what I believe the Bible is saying and be able to be that for other people. So I don't think there's, as far as like, maybe I'm going to have some crazy platform one day or anything like that. I don't know, maybe. But right now I'm in the military and I need to be equipped to be a light to the people in the around.
Yeah. That's true.
And I think that's the good thing.
I'm watching Matt Hall in my
head. Yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah,
his face is going to break from all the smiling that he's doing.
He's like fainting, melting. It's so beautiful.
And you know what, Kyle? That other part of the verse in 1 Peter 3:15 says, always being ready to give an answer. And that really blasts out really loud as the season that you're in. Mm-hmm. Being prepared, you're being ready to give an answer for the hope that's in you, for the reason that you believe. Why do I believe what I believe? And I think so many Christians don't do that. You know, God said it, I believe it, that does it. And it's about as far as they can go, which is nice for your faith and all of that. But to try to explain it to somebody who's asking real questions.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find when you've, is it harder for you when you're having a conversation with those who aren't Christ followers? Is it harder to have those conversations, or is it harder to have conversations with your brothers and sisters who are Christians, but they're on the other side of some topic, like you said, Calvinism, something like that? Which one's harder, to talk to the unbelievers or talk to the believers who don't agree with you?
I definitely think that my most difficult conversations have been with my brother that I met on the ship, who has a completely different view on this Calvinist and non-Calvinist thing.
Yeah.
And it's almost like every single time, like it'll be like he'll walk by me and bump me in the arm and be like, hey, where in the Bible does it say there's free will? And then, you know, like it would be retaliation, like, hey, where in the Bible does it, you know, you say that certain things about what he believes. And I think we both are trying to come to the point where like, hey, we need to be unified even though we have some different differences.
Amen. And,
wow, that's so powerful.
And the biggest thing that I think on both sides is that there's gotta be mystery of, you know, we don't know who are God's chosen people.
Absolutely.
And one thing we are called to do is to have faith. And faith is something that's very important. And so I think that's been the biggest challenge, is to not argue and not debate about these things that really aren't that big of a deal, but to be united, to be a light to everybody that we're around.
That is
as
so
far
good.
As like other people that don't believe in, like I've had a couple situations where I don't necessarily have to go out and like be like, hey, have you ever heard of Jesus? All the time, I'm taking my Bible with me where I go. When I go stand watch, I took my Bible up and there's like a reading list of the things you're allowed to read when you stand and watch. And I was carrying my Bible. He's like, somebody came up. He's like, hey, is that even on the reading list? Are you allowed to read that? And I was like, I don't know. But if someone's going to allow me to read the Bible, like they can. And then somebody came up and was like, no, the Bible is on the reading list. But that just opened up a door for him to start asking me questions.
Sure,
like,
did.
Hey, how do you believe in a God who, when priests do this to like young girls and stuff like that? And my best answer that I gave him was, well, I think people fail. But that doesn't mean that God fails, and that doesn't mean that the Bible is wrong. I think we misinterpret things that we read, and we can't judge God based on human actions like that. And he was like, okay, like, and it wasn't like a huge deep example, but it was a way of him like kind of trying to see where I was, because I think my other Christian who's been on the boat for a while, he kind of comes off fire and brimstone to a lot of these guys. Yeah. And so they're a little pushed back by Christians and sure. when they see the Bible. And so I was trying to come at it in a way of like, hey, like maybe we need to understand more of what Jesus is actually teaching in the Bible and not yeah. what people are interpreting that and their failures and stuff like that. And then he asked another question about like, how old is the earth? He's like, if you answer, depending on how you answer this question, it'll be if I ever talk to you about this stuff again.
That's funny.
It's just cool little interesting opportunities like
how
that
did you answer them. That question?
I went back to Genesis and I said, well, the in Genesis 1, it says that God, you know, created the heavens and the earth, but it was without void. It was without form, whatever. So I don't know how old the earth could be. It could be billions of years, but there's mystery in that. And I don't really have a that's why I want to study a lot of this stuff
yeah.
and
yeah.
and different views on like that's how a great people answer, do talk though. To yeah. atheists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you can,
but I think, yeah, go ahead.
You can be at peace with mystery. I love that you're using the word mm-hmm. mystery because my goodness, it's mysterious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and the thing is that your heart tone, when you're answering someone, they can tell the tone of your heart. Mm-hmm. And you know sure. what? It's another part of the verse, bro. You're doing the entire show on that one verse. Yeah. Because it says to be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks. So yeah. it doesn't say go beat everybody over the head with your book on Calvinism. It says when somebody asks you a question, be ready to answer them, but mm-hmm. with gentleness and reverence, right?
Yeah.
Right on.
And I wanted to ask Kyle, you know, for the people who are listening, I think that there can be like a fear definitely with sharing your faith with people or having those conversations because of rejection. And you're in like a really interesting situation because, you know, here in sunny San Diego, which is gloomy right now, but if I share my faith with someone and they're like, that's stupid, get away with me, I'm like, cool, I'll never see you again. Where you're at, if you share your faith with someone and they're like, hey, this dude's weird and like we don't like him, you're all like, and I'll also see you tomorrow when we have to go to muster yeah. and I'll see you when we have to stand watch together. And so I'm wondering for you, like in this journey, how has it been as far as like being nervous about sharing your faith and sharing those things? And do you like just do it? Do you like pray before? Do you do it and then like afterwards kind of go into your like bunk and then like release all your feelings of like, oh my gosh, that was super scary? Do you feel weird seeing them the next day? Like, how does that go for you?
Yeah, I think it is an interesting situation. I think I was talking to my dad about this the other day, and it's like going back to high school, like a public high school, but the difference is you live with these people day in and day out. And in my position, I'm the bottom of the totem pole. Almost everybody is an authority over me. And so the biggest challenge for me is treating everybody with this value, like they mm-hmm. are created in the image of God, no matter who they are, how they act. And having respect, it's really teaching me a lot about authority, I think. And that's kind of one of the reasons I joined. But I think also remembering, like I was laying in my bed last night thinking about this, remembering why I joined in the first place. And yeah. it wasn't just because I didn't have a career. I do feel like the Lord kind of was sending me to this. Mm-hmm. And I was reminded, I was listening. It's funny because I'm not a podcaster and I haven't really like listened to a lot of your guys' podcasts, but I've been binging them in the past couple of days preparing for this. And I was like, wow, this is like exactly what I need in this season. And I was listening to Mike Cook's podcast and it reminded me of the situation wow. shortly before I did join. Mm-hmm. And these really spiritual encounters. And it was like God was saying, this was my confirmation that I was sending you to do what you're doing right now. And I was up one night, I couldn't fall asleep, and I felt like the Lord said, just get up and walk around. And I just like got outside and started walking around, and there was somebody sitting on a bench, homeless guy, and he was like calling out to me like, hey, what are you doing? And I walked over, I was like, I think the Lord like told me to get up and come find you. And we like ended up just like talking, and I shared the gospel with him. Nothing came out of that, but like I was able to just be there for him. Then the next day, the whole point of this is like, I think God was trying to get me in this mindset of like him providing opportunities to to like share who he is, mm-hmm. and not necessarily looking for it. And so the next day I was driving around and I felt like an inkling to pull into a gas station. And I pulled into the gas station, and right when I pulled in, the owner of the gas station was like freaking out because there was a car in front of me. He's like, the guy in front is dead. The guy in front is dead. Mm. And I got out and I was looking in the passenger seat and he was like, it's completely pale. There was like no blood in his face. There was somebody in the other passenger seat and they looked like they were like high on something. I think the guy had overdosed. And I just was like, didn't really know what to do. All I could think of is like, I need to pray for this guy. I need to put my hand on him. And so I started praying for him. And then the girl in the car next to me started like freaking out and came over and started praying. And then I called my dad and I was like, hey, I don't know what to do. Like, there's this thing. And so my dad came and brought some Narcans for the guy. And we ended up reviving him. and he like woke up.
You just
and,
happened to have that on you?
No, we had a, yeah, we had
lots
an emergency
kit. Lots of people
do,
actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
yeah.
Lots of people do.
Dude, we live in El Cajon.
You just saved his freaking life, man.
Yeah, so... And it wasn't like
he saved his life.
Yeah, but you brought the thing, father and son.
Yeah.
Yeah. There wasn't like there was a supernatural thing where Jesus like raised this man from the dead. Like we used the Narcans, but God told me to pull into that gas station. Yeah. And I was there. And it's just remembering that like Jesus will provide all the situations and it's him who does the work. It's him who saves. Mm-hmm. It's by his grace we are saved through faith. And so remembering that in my encounters with people, I think should eliminate the fear of me failing or what people are going to think or getting in trouble for sharing.
Kyle, that is such a supernatural story. I'd never heard that one. But I'm telling you, people are dying and he's leading us to them.
Yeah.
You know, this is such a physical manifestation of what we do when we share Jesus with people. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. Somebody and the other guy on the other side of the story has got a story to tell.
Yeah.
There was
this
guy that
I
pulled into the gas
station.
You
know, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's like, I think it's just so cool, like when you like call and we kind of talk about all the things that you're learning. And it's crazy because you really do have like a, what's the word? For lack of a better term, you have like a battleground over there, you know, because you really are. You are in confinement, essentially, not only with the people that you are in the Navy with, but also currently where you're at, legit confined. And you're a Christian, you know, and you have this powerful thing inside of you. And I was just thinking about the other day when you called me and you were talking about like some of the conversation you were having, and you were saying that like, even though you and the guy you were talking with, like you weren't necessarily seeing eye to eye, there were like people listening to you guys like have this conversation. And afterwards you were saying that like one of the guys, and I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but you were saying he was like, you know, like what you were saying actually like does make a lot of sense. And even just things like that of like, I'm not even talking to this guy, but like they're listening to our conversation and they're listening to like me articulate like what I've learned, and they're listening to like me share basically the gospel. And I think that an encouragement for people in that can also be like, it is important to prepare, you know, like we should be in our word, you know, we should be reading the Bible, we should be learning, we should be gathering. I fall kind of on the scale where I do think we should be studying, like not only in the Bible, but also like things, you know, people that wrote things alongside of what's happening, or just like learning about historical documents and things like that. Because when God speaks through us and uses us, like it is powerful to where people who may not even know Jesus are like, you know what? That actually does make sense.
Yeah.
Like what you're saying makes a lot of sense. And maybe now I think I need to maybe check that out and see like what that is, you know?
And the fact that you can dig into stuff together.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the expert of experts, you know, and have everything all figured out and everything. That finding answers together because you're loving each other and you're speaking with the tone of unity that you can both dig into it, even if you end up disagreeing.
Yeah, it's fun. It can be fun.
Yeah. Fun in Calvinism.
I don't know.
Matt Hall, I'm watching you, and as I was watching you, I'm interested of what you're thinking, because I see a lot, people can't see, but I see a lot of emotions going across your face. And so you have this interesting viewpoint, because, you know, Kyle has been your child for all of his years of life, and so you've gotten to watch him as a child, you've gotten to watch him when he was a little bit more crazy, you know, like keep in contact when he moved away and then came back to church, and now he's here. And so I'm interested to like know what's in your
Brianna,
heart at the moment.
I hear a man who is enamored and in love with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I hear. That's who I see. And it is an enormous blessing to me. Enormous blessing to me. So it's also conviction. Like, I'm convicted in a lot of ways, you know. But I don't know if there's such a thing as godly pride, but I have godly pride.
Yeah.
over Kyle. And I'm super excited to see where the future leads, because a humble, righteous Kyle is going to be unstoppable.
That's true.
So I'm super excited. I'm stoked. That's what's going through my mind is, God, you're so good. Yeah. And also, like, what an amazing road.
Mm-hmm.
What, like, all of it, you know, like all of it. What an amazing road he put us on, you know. And
this is definitely our Father's Day episode, man. And I got to tell you, that verse in 3 John, I have no greater joy than to hear of my children walking in the truth, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even when you can't see it. Like, I'm sure when my grandma, she was praying about me a lot more than she was praying for me, because I was a wretch. And so you see times where we go off our road, we all did, maybe except Brianna. And, you know, but God's got it in control. And he's been there before us, and he knows where he's leading.
Yeah.
And he also knows, you know, we all agree. I know this is not just the Kyle Hall fan club.
Right.
But we know his heart and his heart for the Lord, even when he was navigating and trying to discover and, you know, and checking out different things.
Yeah.
There's just no greater joy.
There isn't. And I'm interested, Kyle, if you can say, if you can encourage people who, like, I don't know, like, want to share, or even if it's like specific, you know, I don't know if there's anybody military wise that listens to this, but just like sharing about maybe like getting past that barrier of sharing the gospel, or what to do with like anxiousness or anxiety, or when you're in awkward situations where people don't agree with you and you feel like, oh, well, they're pulling out stuff that I don't even really know about, and I'm nervous, and, you know, I'm not equipped for that. Like, can you share some encouragement for people in that position?
Yeah, I think for me, at least, the biggest thing, like I was saying, is to view everybody with equal value, to really understand that we were created in the image of God. And when you do that, you only want to share how much grace that the Lord has and that you've seen in your own life. You want to share that with them.
Yeah.
And I think remembering that God does the work. Like, God will provide the situations. God will provide the words. The things that we have to do on our part is study the word, study the theology, study, build a relationship with him, walk with him daily, find things like the podcast for me. Like, when I'm around a lot of situations during the day that, you know, people are like cussing and they're doing all this other stuff, well, I need to disassociate myself from that stuff sometimes. And so I'll throw the podcast in, or I'll throw some Christian music on, and just trying to stay in that like mindset of I'm a child of God and I'm supposed to be a light. And so then when I encounter those situations, I can just be, you can just be, you know, radiating what that is. I don't really have a ton of advice, because I'm still trying to figure it out. I feel like I've been a Christian for a long time, but I'm still in like a baby phase, because I've just neglected for so long really studying the word and understanding God's character.
No, I think that was great.
That's such truth. You know, the Lord just, you know, when pastors are going, this brings to mind, and they wrote it in their notes, you know, when they're preaching. Yeah, yeah. Yes, it makes me recall, but this one's for real. And I would really like to move into this if you guys are comfortable with
this.
We just had the largest father-son event, the largest men's event in the history of the church. Like over 1,000 people showed up to flamethrower dead pigs. They were dead. You know, axe throwing, knife throwing, chopping, car pulling. Some people try to beat up on a UFC dude, and they all get beat up and nobody gets the money. Anyway, it was a big masculine testosterone event that was huge. But one of the things they did at the end, I think we should do, because this is our Father's Day episode right here. And so what happened at the end, Kyle and Matthew, is the fathers prayed a blessing over their sons, and the sons prayed a blessing over their father. And what I'd like you guys both to do, if you would, if you feel comfortable with this, Kyle, if you could just pray a blessing over your father, but not just him, the fathers who are listening, who may have given up hope on their kids or be estranged for their sons, mm-hmm. or not know, you know, and they're crying out for their sons. But Matthew, if you could start and you pray the blessing over your son and the sons that are listening, and then Kyle, if you could pray a blessing over your father and the fathers that are listening, I think that would be magnificent. You okay with that? And you can't cry the whole time.
I wasn't ready for the emotions, Kevin.
Sorry.
Heavenly Father, I just come before you as your son, and I lift up my son to you, Lord. And I first of all just want to thank you, God, for him. And I want to prophesy over him, Lord, that you will be faithful to complete what you have started in him, Lord. And I just bless his journey. I bless his relationship with you and other people, Lord. And I just dedicate him to you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you demonstrate perfectly what a fatherhood is supposed to be like. And your intention is to always restore our relations with our earthly fathers. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody out there where their kids have strayed away, backslidden, just fallen away from you or don't know you, that you would draw them, God. No one comes to you unless you draw them. And I know that your heart is for them. So I pray that you would just give peace, that you would, your sovereignty would be clear in every circumstance, and that you would just bring the sons back to the fathers, God.
Happy Father's Day, y'all.
Happy Father's Day.